Good evening. I'm going to give you a present for my birthday. You know what the present is, Larry? What is it? A short homily. That is the present. Tomorrow is my birthday. And I turn... I only say that because it's a momentous birthday. I'm turning 70. Anyway. I'm tired. You're going to kill me. Yeah, kill me with love. Now, let me tell you just, what I'm thinking about is a very important thing, but it's a fairly short reflection. Here it is. You know, the gospel today talks about staying awake. And it uses different metaphors. You know, the thief is coming in the middle of the night. The servants, getting distracted and doing things that they're not supposed to be doing. And then the good servants staying focused. When I was reading that, I was thinking about how easy it is for us in our cultural context to constantly get distracted. I mean, if you think about it, we live in a world that has as its main mission to distract us. And commercials, bright, shiny little objects here and there to tell you to come and have fun. Comedies here and stuff like that. But ultimately, what's happening is that most of us, not all of us, but most of us live a life pretty much free of serious thought. Pretty much free of serious thought. And the reason that we do that is because serious thought is incredibly difficult. It doesn't have an easy payoff. And when you are distracted, and I want you to notice the etymology of the word distract. It's fairly simple. To get off track. To distract. When you are distracted, life is easier than when you're focused. Until the distraction becomes almost your entire life. And then at a moment in time, you look at yourself and you wonder if you have been off track for so long, distracted for so long, where are you supposed to be on track to? You forget where the track was, because for so long you and I have given in to distract. And what happens is that we end up with lives, a lot of times we end up, not all of us, I'm speaking in generalities, but we end up with lives that are superficial. You know, there's a quote. One of my favorite plays is called Man of La Mancha. And Man of La Mancha is the story of Don Quixote. Now, Don Quixote, some of you are familiar with Don Quixote and some of you are not. It's a very old, several hundred years, Spanish meaning from Spain, novel about an old man who his life doesn't seem to have a lot of meaning. And so he begins to read stories about knights and defending a fair lady. Basically, he begins to read stories about having a purpose in his life. And he sort of goes a little mad, but mad in a good way. In a good way, mad, because what's happening is that he sees the pointlessness of his life, and even in fantasy, he starts trying to create a life that has meaning. And so he becomes this knight, and fighting windmills as if they were dragons. And he's fighting, he picks a prostitute from a local bar, and he calls her his lady, and he treats her like a lady, beautifully, with respect. Anyway, it's a beautiful, by the way, it's a movie, but the movie really doesn't do it tremendous justice. A play is the better one. But if you don't have anything, go to Netflix or iTunes and look up Man of La Mancha. But here's my point with Man of La Mancha. There's a quote when the author of Man of La Mancha is talking about, he's in jail, and people are accusing his character, Don Quixote, of being crazy. And then he's in jail with all these other people, and they say, why are you writing about an old man who is crazy and who goes off fighting windmills as if they were dragons and picks a prostitute as if it were his lady? Why do you write about that? Why don't you write about real things, the real life? Why don't you write about that, instead of all this escapism of this old man? And this, he answers in a way that I have never forgotten. And I'll try to quote it, but I'll probably miss a little bit of it. But here's a little bit of the quote. He says, to the people who are accusing him of not living the real life and escaping, looking for purpose, when actually the real life, well, this is what he says. I have lived the real life. I have been all over the world. I have been in war. I have had my comrades die bloody in battle. I have been in the real world. I have held my comrades in my arms as they were dying. And as they were dying, their eyes kept looking out, asking constantly the question, why? Why? I don't think they were asking why they were dying. I think they were asking why they had lived. When life itself seems pointless, why continue seeking treasure where there's only trash? Why confuse the daily grind of meaningless distractions? And maddest of all is to live life as it is instead of as it should be. I love that last sentence. Why had they lived? Maddest of all is to keep yourself distracted with life as it is and never wonder about life as it ought to be. If you do nothing about it, if you live your life, immersed in popular culture, in television, radio, magazines, in the hubbub of football, soccer, tennis, basketball, baseball, in all of these things that are entertainment, they are distractions. And I'm not saying not enjoy them. Periodically, we all need to get off track. But what I notice is that the majority of people that I meet live off track. They live off track. And so my hunch is that what Miguel Cervantes, who is the guy writing the novel about Don Quixote, what he said about men dying wondering why they had lived. I think that happens quite a few people. I think it happens to quite a few people who, when they're down, I've seen it, because I've been a priest for 40 years and I've been in the presence of people who were dying. And a lot of times there is that question, why? And the reflection of Cervantes is correct. Not why they were dying, but why they had lived. When life itself seems mad, perhaps to be too practical is madness. And as he said, and maddest of all is to live life as it is and not as it should be. Now, why am I saying that? Because that's what Jesus was talking about. Jesus is talking about the servants who are constantly distracted, who are playing. A long time ago, somebody said to me, sometimes people live their lives as if life was one giant amusement park. You know, it's kind of like, what ride shall we go on next? How shall we laugh next? And we go from vacation or to distractions to playing, but never focused, never on track, because it's hard. It's hard to ask the tough questions of life. What's the truth? Where is there a meaning in life? Or is it just one damn thing after another? Is there a God? What's going to happen to me when I die? Most people find those questions fairly threatening, and so they get distracted. It takes a lot of effort to focus. And it also takes courage to focus. It's a lot easier to allow yourself to be distracted. And if you do nothing, you will live distracted. It's kind of like swimming against the tide. You know, in a river that's flowing, the only bodies that don't have to struggle are the dead ones. If you're going to go counter the flow of the culture, it takes effort. It's a lot easier to just let the current carry you. And what Jesus is saying is focus focus. Make sure that you're paying attention. Make sure that you're paying attention to what matters. Because when the Son of Man comes, that's who he's going to look for. What did you do with the time that God gave you? What did you do with it? Did you have a few laughs and then die? Are you going to, in some way or another, justify your taking up oxygen on this earth? And all I'm saying to you is focus. I'm not telling you never to be distracted. All of us need distractions. But don't ever make distract be your main tract. Think the hard thoughts. Take time to be alone. Take time to read the great reflections of humans who have lived before. Allow them to guide you. You're not alone. Human beings have been struggling with these questions for millennia. Don't allow yourself to just be carried by the current. And that's what Jesus is saying. It's a fairly sobering message. And it should be. As I hit 70, you know, one of the funny things about hitting 70, actually, do you know when it happened to me? It happened to me when I was 36 years old. No, 40. Yeah, it was 40. You know why? If you picture life as a mountain, in your first 40, you're going like that. But the chances of you hitting 80 are not great. Some, especially for men. So when you hit 40, all of a sudden there's this. Ding. And you start going. Ding. And when you were looking forward, I have my life ahead of me. And all of a sudden you hit 40, 45, and then you go. And you go, oh. S-H-I something. I'm heading towards the downfall. Believe it or not, it makes you think. It makes you start focusing on the real questions of life. Distractions are chiefly for young people. I'm convinced that that's why the church mostly is full of old people. Because they're on the second half of the ride. And the tough questions. Listen, when you get to be 70, I'm experiencing this more. It's tough not to see death coming. It's tough. Now you might say, Father Mario, such a morose topic. Yeah. Yeah, 70 years old does that to you. So, don't live in distraction. Get on track. Do some thinking. Make sure you understand where the hell you're going.